So he left out certain parts. Same thing when he wrote the Hesped for his Zachta, he left out certain parts that he mentioned. One of the things he left out from Kol Dodi Dofik was he's upset why in Eretz Yisrael they allow weddings and they take haircuts. And Yom Ha'atzmaut, this was I think 8 or 9 years after Hakamas HaMedina. So he thought that it's something to observe, celebrate, be happy about, but he didn't think it was right to violate the Minhagim of Svira because of Yom Ha'atzmaut. He thought it was not right. Then in later years, when they used to have like a carnival atmosphere here on the campus, he was not happy at all. Once, on one occasion, they asked him the night before, he was going to daven in he used to stay in the Morgenstern dorm on the first floor. So they asked him in advance about saying Hallel and about reading the Haftorah, whatever, all the different issues. So he said, no, they shouldn't say Hallel, they shouldn't say Haftorah. And then the message was never delayed. The message was never relayed to the Baal Tefillah. So after Shachris, Baal Tefillah started to say Hallel. So Rabbi Soloveitcher was so angry, they asked him, and they didn't listen to him. The guy didn't know what he said. They just, the Shliach never told him what he said. So he walked out in anger, and that day he gave this whole attack against the way people observe Yom HaTzmaut. So that, well, they printed that. They printed Rabbi Holzer, what's his name, Holzer from Florida. He printed that. He happened to be angry then. He not only didn't speak with such anger. That was an unusual, that was a Yetzer Hara.
Dancing he did at Lachim, was that different?
Yeah, and it's a Shvacha dance. That's not dancing.
You used to have a band.
Yeah, yeah. They probably are going to have later. I imagine they probably are going to have later. Yeah. Yesterday I participated in Professor Adler's class. So I was a little disappointed that some of the students don't seem to know the ABC of our religion. That we believe Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, Mesorah LeYoshua. We believe that there's a Torah Shebaal Peh. And one of the 13 principles of faith is Zos HaTorah Lo Sehi Mochlefes. The laws of the Torah don't change. Rabbi Soloveitchik doesn't come up in the year 1950 and change all the dinim in the Torah. That's elementary. You don't change the dinim. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out in several of his essays that this point was explained both by the Baal HaTanya and by Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. Whatever disagreements they had, 99% of issues they agree, they say exactly the same. So they both say the same thing, that the Torah is not merely a collection of laws, it's a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Navi tells us, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, God's essence doesn't change, so the laws of the Torah don't change. He sometimes had a machlekes atanayim, or a machlekes amarayim, or a machlekes about a certain din, and in one generation they passed him one way, and later generation they reversed it. You have a Mishnah Rishon, a Mishnah Achrona, sometimes they went back and forth, based on the consensus. So they're trying to figure out, the Talmud says that Eilu V'Eilu Dibu L'Kim Chaim, they're trying to figure out which element, the element of Iser, should outweigh the element of Heter, the element of Heter should outweigh the element of Issa. That's what the Ritvo explains on the Gemara and Erev and on the Afyut Gimel and Beis. What does it mean, Eilu V'Eilu Dibu L'Kim Chaim? So he says it's probably when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the Baruch Shalom was teaching him all the Taryag Mitzvahs, he asked the Baruch Shalom, what's the din in this case? Baruch Shalom said it's Asa. What's the din in that case? It's Muta. What's the din in the third case? As elements of Issa, elements of Heter, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to lead it up to the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dor Dor based on their perspective of Kol HaTorah Kula to determine whether they feel that the elements of Issa outweigh the elements of Heter or not. So it can happen in different generations. They can be Machriya differently. But the Hachro, the Hoka, the Chachmei, to change a Psak is not just based on my attitude towards the world. That's not from the Midrash HaTorah and Resh Hashem. That's one of the main aspects, one of the main themes that Rav Soloveitchik emphasized so much when he wrote Isha Halacha. It's a description of his father. His father was the Isha Halacha. So that section, the Derech HaLimud of the Isha Halacha, is identical with the description that he gave in Madodach Mido, the hesped that he delivered for his uncle. When he spoke about Avavala Soloveitchik, he spoke about different things. So one part of that hesped is identical with this hesped of Isha Alacha. The Derech HaLimud is the same. He kept on emphasizing about the objectification of Halacha. You can't have Halacha is going to be subjective. I think like this today, and tomorrow I think like that, and I'm in this mood, that mood. That's not Halacha. Halacha, you have Midas HaTar in the Dreshes, man. And he emphasized that halacha has to have a formula. Halacha has to have a formula. True, the Gemara says, Mishum Iguna Kila Berabonon. The rabbi saw that there were so many agunas, so there had to be Mako, but they had to come up with a formula that explained what the kula is based on. Kirsha say, well, it was a big shas hatchak, so they were Mako. That doesn't explain anything. And he gave a mashal, a ma'adav adayma, that when there was a war, the Second World War, so the American government was concerned that the German physicists are going to discover the secret to atomic energy, and they're going to make an atom bomb, and they're going to control the whole world. So the American government paid a lot of money to Einstein and all the geniuses there that they should figure out the secret to atomic energy, and they developed the atomic bomb. So we won the war. They dropped the bomb, they won the war. So you say, well, how does the atomic bomb work? You say, we just explained it. There was a Shas HaTrak, there was a Muhammad, and the Americans were afraid the Germans were going to make an atomic bomb, so they paid a lot of money, and they made an atomic bomb. That doesn't explain the formula. That gives the historical background, what motivated the scientists to work on it. Why did we pour so much money into it? But in order that the bomb should work, you have to have a formula. Shumigun Akila Berabanon is not the explanation of the formula. That's the historical background, what motivated the rabbis to come up with the kula. It's a rachmanis on the woman, but then they have to come up with a formula. You need a formula. So the formula, Gemara has a machlekes. Is it that it's a milsa David leglui loy mishakri inshi, or is it because mitochem mishachmarta ala b'soif ekalta ala b'tchilosa? So if it's mishum, if it's a milsa David leglui loy mishakri inshi, this was a din that was mukubal in the days of the Tanaim and other areas. The Gemara says, meikir adin. When an Echad comes and he tells me when Rosh Chodesh is, you shouldn't really apply Erev then Misur. The din should really require two Erev. It's a question, why? That's what it says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. So when an Echad comes and he tells me, they didn't send two Erev, they used to send an Echad. So when an Echad came, how do you believe him that he tells me when Rosh Chodesh is? So the Gemara says, because we know who the guy is, and we're going to catch him in a lie. In another week or two, we're going to know for sure when Rosh Chodesh is. Other people are going to come. So Milsa David Lam Shakrish, the guy's not going to tell a lie, for we have the ability to catch him red-handed in the lie. And the same thing the Gemara says, it was always accepted that if a non-Jew sells eggs and he tells me these are eggs from a kosher bird, you can trust him. A Nochri doesn't have them on us on Kashris. Only a Jewish person only has them on us if he keeps kosher. A non-Jew doesn't keep kosher, he's not mechuyev to observe kasher, he doesn't have them on us. Gemara says, not based on the namanus of the goy. The goy doesn't have namanus to say it's kosher. When we're going to crack open, we're going to take the eggs home, we're going to crack them open. When we crack it open, we'll know for sure that it's a kosher egg or a treif egg. You can tell by opening up in the inside. So of course the goy is not going to tell a lie, say that it's from a kosher bird. I'm going to take a bird home, crack it open, I'll discover that he's lying. I'll go tell all the neighbors not to buy any eggs by him. He doesn't want to get caught red-handed in a lie. So the Tanaim decided, is the historical explanation as to why they had to come up with something. But they had to come up with a formula. Either they adopted the position that they said in other areas, halacha, that there's a ruba de leisa kamon, milsa david and glui, loy mishakri inshi. So they felt that by aguna there's also enough. Maybe the husband will never come back home. It's not, you see, by cracking open the egg or by the edech, what it says, by Rosh Chodesh is, it's a vaday that the person is going to get caught red-handed in the lie. By the aguna, he may never get caught red-handed. So the Tanaim determined, they decided at that time, that that's also sufficient. Even if it's not 100%, Vada is going to get caught in a lie. He may get caught red-handed in a lie, so people wouldn't lie about that, at least in the days of the Gemara. We learned here today, Rabbi Soloveitchik said he's not so sure whether Milsa David Elegloi La Meshach still applies Bizman Hazeh, because after... When Nixon confronted Khrushchev, I think, in the United Nations, and he asked him, say, yes or no, do you have missiles in Cuba? So he said, no. He said, they have no missiles. Then they showed the photographs, and he wasn't embarrassed. No one is embarrassed today. Everybody says big lies, and they get caught red-handed. Turk they did, but they get caught in a lie, and they go weiter. No one is embarrassed. He said he's not so sure whether that din still applies bizman hazeh. That's a psychological lumdin. Psychology changes in different generations. Maybe people today are bigger liars. They wouldn't be embarrassed. But in the days of the Tanaim, they had to come up with a formula. So the halacha, he said, there are those who give historical explanations to halachas. He said, someone from the seminary printed a book many years ago, 60 years ago, that the reason why the rabbis came up with all the leniencies in a sukkah, that you don't need four walls, two walls, and a shlishis afilu tefach, and you say lovud, and the wall doesn't have to reach the floor if it's within lovud, and it doesn't have to reach the schach, if the schach is directly above, you say budasik mechitz, to all the kulas, so many kulas. So some of them in the seminary printed because there was a scarcity of wood in the days of the Tanaim, so they felt compelled to be mekel. So someone asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, is that apikrus? And he said, doesn't think that's apikrus, maybe that's true, but that doesn't explain the halacha. That explains what motivated the rabbis to come up with something, but you have to have a formula. He said, just like in science, the Talmud Chacham is the same as a scientist. He has to gather all the data, has to figure out all the information, and then figure out what's the mahalach, what's the pattern, what's the formula, how do things work. And halacha also, you have to first find out what the halachas are. You have to know a million halachas. You have to try to figure out what's the mahalach over here, what's the rule, what's the exception to the rule, what's the formula. You have to have a formula. The halacha has to have a formula. There's an abstract system of halacha. So you can't just say because of political considerations or because of a subjective attitude that a person has, he's going to give a psak and a halacha. Halacha is an abstract system. And the halacha doesn't change. In every generation, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Matan, every generation, Talmid HaChacham have a right to disagree with those who preceded them. Klal in the Gemara, Ein bez niyochel avatel dibri bez nacharem ken gadol amenu b'chach v'meminyan only applies if the earlier bezin made a rabbinic enactment and the later bezin wants to repeal a rabbinic enactment, then you need gadol b'chach v'meminyan. But if they're arguing what pshat in the chumash is, they're arguing what pshat in the Mishnah is, so there is no rule ein bez niyochel avatel dibri bez nacharem. That's the rule. Ein lechal ha-shefet shir b'yamach, ha-bosa la-shefet shir b'yamimayim, ein lechal ha-shefet shir b'yamach, yiftach b'dara kishmul b'dara. And Moshe Feinstein thought that he was less learned than the Chasam Sofer and less learned than the Nadi Yehuda, but still he felt he has a right to disagree. He said, maybe I'm not entitled to an opinion at all. Maybe I'm not a Chochmah Shehigiyah Lo'ira. But people keep on insisting they want to know my opinion. People insist that I am a Chochmah Shehigiyah Lo'ira. So he says, so then he's entitled, he's obligated to say his honest to goodness opinion, even if it's a disagreement with those who preceded him, who were greater. So in every generation, Talmid Chachamim are entitled to their opinion, even if they want to disagree with those who preceded them. But we have certain limitations. So we have Amoraim have a right to disagree with Tanoim. The Gemara will make a Tiyufta against an Amora. So the Kesem Mishnah asked that question. How does the first Kesem Mishnah in Hilchos Mamrim? How does the Gemara make a Tiyufta against the Amora? If the Rambam says, Ein lecha l'shefet shebi amecho, the Bezdin in every generation has the right to express their an obligation to express the honest to goodness opinion. So how can you make a tiyufta against an Amora? So the Kesem Mishnah explains the Amoraim had an attitude if they can see the Tzad Heter and the Tzad Iser, and they think that Tzad Heter makes more sense or the Tzad Iser makes more sense, but then they find out that all the Tanoim held the other way. So their attitude would be, look, if everybody holds, I can see the other viewpoint, I can understand this and that, I have a slight Netiyas Hadas, I think this way makes better sense. But then when he finds out all the Tanaim say fakert, so their attitude used to be, okay, so we'll leave it like that. So we'll accept what they say. If the Tanaim just didn't agree at all, if they held, it doesn't make sense the other way, they would disagree with all the Tanaim. They wouldn't need another Tana to say like that. But usually they can see both perspectives, and then if it was a slight and Tiyas Hadas, and they see all the Tanaim hold fakert, they would give in. So this is true Tanaim Amoraim, and they have Rishayim Achrayim. But there's a cutoff point. The Gemara says in the end of Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Bav, not the end, middle of Bava Metzia. Gemara says Ravina Ravashi, Soif Ayroah. That's a cutoff point. After the days of Ravina Ravashi, the Goinim and the Rishonim have no ability to disagree with the Chasim HaSatam. You can't take a din in the Gemara and throw it out and say that the din is different today. Because we're dealing with different people. What do you mean dealing with different people? Because I have Rachmanis on this person. I should pass him differently. There is no such thing. You don't change Dinim and the Gemara. Why is that so? It's a good question. That's on Chosh Mishpat, it says. The Ramon, Simach HaFei. Chosh Mishpat says, if the Ramon lived in the 1500s, so he says, if there's a Chubas HaGainim and you think that they made a mistake, so you should consult your contemporaries. Maybe you're making a major mistake. You should consult your contemporaries, and if they all think that you have raya's brurais, that the goyim are wrong, so you have to paskan against the goyim. But if you want to disagree with the Gemara, that's the limit. You can't disagree. Rabbi and Rabashi say if I wrong, you can't disagree. Why is that so? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained, he thought that historically, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the days of Rabbi and Rabashi, the Torah Shebaal Peh was still being transmitted Baal Peh. Even though Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had edited the Mishnayos, they were still reciting Mishnayos Baal Peh. And they only started, that's what most of the Achrayim write and most of the history books assume. Till the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, the Shurim was still given Baal Peh. And after the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, that's when they used to give the Shir using a text. So since Dvar Shah Baal Peh, Yatav Hashem Yomer Biksav, the stronger form of Masor Al-Pidin is, maybe it's not stronger for preserving the Halacha, but the Al-Pidin, the stronger form of Masor, is when the Torah Shem Al-Peh is transmitted by Al-Peh. So up until the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, the Chachmei HaMasorah had a stronger status of Chachmei HaMasorah. And after the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, when they were learning Mitoch HaKsav, they had a lower level of Chachmei HaMasorah. So those with the lower level don't have the ability to disagree with the lows, but those Talmid HaChachamim who belong to the higher level of Chachmei HaMasorah. So that's a cloud. That's a double potion like that. I don't know, people never saw Rabbi Soloveitchik, never heard him give a shiur. So they wanted to know whether his philosophy had an effect on his Derech Halima. His Derech Halima is exactly, word for word, the same as his father. The way he describes his uncle, his father, exactly the same. Exactly the same. There were slight aspects of his style of shiurim that may have been influenced by philosophy. But I mentioned yesterday that Avnei Nezer has many times these kind of ideas about Tata de Sastri. Avnei Nezer has it in over 30 places. So Rav Soloveitchik may have picked it up from there. It happens to be a theme in philosophy. Rav Soloveitchik picked up from philosophy. But it's in Halacha that Avnei Nezer didn't read philosophy. So Avnei Nezer had it on his own. From Rishonim have it. The concept of Tata de Sastri. In Derech HaLimud, he was almost exactly the same as his father. But in Halacha, to say you're going to change the din in the Gemara because we live in different times, that's ridiculous. It's the ABC of what Halacha is all about. I had the feeling that many of the people who were asking questions yesterday did not read the book, not in Hebrew, not in English. They were supposed to have read the Isha Halacha. I don't think they read it. If they would have read it, they wouldn't have asked that silly questions. Okay. That's the ABC of our religion.
So in theory, it sounds like a person could be full like the Shulchan Aruch. Anyone after the Rashi.
The Mishnah Brura very often is Chalak on every page. It's Chalak on the Shulchan Aruch.
So some of the more mundane issues with the Talmudists that these people who are trying are just not real Talmudic Chachamim.
You have a right to be Chalak based on Midrash Atarin at Reshus Ben. If you know how to learn, you have to know what the building blocks of Halacha. I can't just say I don't agree with the Shulchan Aruch. I'm chelek on the guy who made the spaceship. I hold differently in physics. You make a spaceship, let's see if it's going to fly. See, in Halacha, we have no other way to prove. So he thinks he's just the smartest Shulchan Aruch. If he would make a spaceship, would it get off the ground or would it stay here? In physics, you have a way to tell. Any kindergarten teacher who teaches physics can't say, I know as much as the big physicist that made the spaceship. His spaceship is not going to get off the ground. So you haven't learning, we have no way to prove it. But it's ridiculous. Every Joe Schmo, every Tom, Dick, and Harry thinks he knows how to learn as well as a Talmid HaChachamim. He doesn't know anything. He's wet behind the ears, still in diapers. What do you mean? He's not entitled to an opinion. It's not because of the formality that he doesn't have a beard and he didn't learn Yeshiva. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Like in physics, in any discipline. The Halacha is a self-contained discipline. Every discipline is self-contained. Of course, you can't mix in concepts. But are you going to use square root in halacha? The terminology doesn't fit in. A sine and a cosine and a square root. It's the wrong discipline. You're going to use psychological terminology in halacha. Halacha has its own building blocks. Halacha is a self-contained discipline that has to work. It has to be a separate system. It's an abstract system. You can't introduce new things. That's what the Holy Shalach is all about. That's what some of the students who were asking questions didn't begin to understand anything. We ought to discuss this the first day in the year instead of the last day of the Shia. It should be the first day of Shia. Okay. Maybe next year we'll have to remember. What do we